The Patriot counterpoints to propaganda.
Truth, liberty, and the real American way.
You have now enlisted in the Denton and Sasquatch Show.
This is your beacon of truth in a world of liars, thieves, and whores. We are podcasting patriots taking the fight to the enemy, never taking freedom for granted, because it cannot survive without protection. That is us, the Denton and Sasquatch Show. Our email, dentonandsasshow@gmail.com. We are calling on you to get involved, never back down, and never surrender the truth. Welcome to the DNS Show. I am Sasquatch, and he is Denton. Denton is unfortunately not with us tonight. He's doing, well, Denton stuff, I guess. I don't know. But we're going to try to do another show later this week. Maybe tomorrow. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But, yeah. So, let's see. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world today. And most of it ain't good. I used to think what the Democrats were doing was the worst thing. But more recently, I rank that second. The new thing I think is the most concerning, and maybe it's just me, is how little people seem concerned about it. No, I get it. We always hear, this is the most important election of our lifetimes. It's been said many times over many years, but now things are just a little bit different. The Democrats, the neo-Marxists, the DC swamp, hell, the global elitists. Whatever you want to name the people calling the shots, they have passed the point of no return. There's no going back from the political norms we used to have. I mean, there's always been a lot of fighting and dirty stuff in politics, but the Democrats have built themselves a Wile E. Coyote-style slingshot and catapulted the dirty tricks into the stratosphere. They can't even see the line anymore. Take this whole fraud case with Trump in New York. Letitia James ran for Attorney General of New York on a platform of, I'll get Trump. No specifics, just I'll get him. She won in a landslide. And then she went to work. Remember, no one accused Trump of fraud or misdeeds. There was no victim. The money he borrowed, he paid back in full with interest, a lot of interest. And we've heard from plenty of other developers in the state. They all do what Trump did, and no one came after him. After the verdict, the governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, she had this to say. I think that this is really an extraordinary, unusual circumstance that the law-abiding and rule-following New Yorkers who are business people have nothing to worry about. Because they're different than Donald Trump and his behavior. That's a threat. She just told all of the people of New York, or anyone who does business in New York, basically, you don't F with the Democrats and our plans, and you got nothing to worry about. Sounds kind of mobbish. Trump's been ordered to pay $355 million. And can't do business in New York for 3 years for a crime that had no victim. But go about your business. Nothing to see here. This is the coup. It's happening right before our eyes. And everyone seems kind of meh about the whole thing. So we've seen time and time again how the Democrats work. If something is against the law or unconstitutional, they just go ahead and do it anyway, and then they say, try to stop us. And the whole time they have their media lapdogs and their useful idiots cheering them on, ready to be called up for duty if any civil disobedience is needed. Let's take a look at Steve Bannon and Peter Navarro. These are two of Trump's appointees who were arrested for contempt of Congress while ignoring a subpoena. Bannon was sentenced to 4 months of incarceration and ordered to pay $6,500 in fines. Peter Navarro was sentenced to 4 months as well. This dude is 74 years old, and the FBI took him down as if he were a drug kingpin from Colombia. They put him in leg irons. It's a white-collar crime, and the dude is a skinny 74-year-old guy. They could have summoned him, and if he ignored that, then go arrest him. But they wanted to show their power. A show of power for all of you little people, you little peons, to see. From Politico. The federal judge overseeing the contempt of Congress case against former Trump White House advisor Peter Navarro expressed concern Friday about the decision by prosecutors to arrest him last month rather than simply summoning him to come to court. Navarro has complained bitterly about the FBI's tactics in arresting him at Reagan National Airport as he was departing for a speaking engagement in Nashville, objecting that he was handcuffed, denied food and water, and refused permission to make a phone call to a lawyer. The FBI agents handling the arrest said in an official report that he called them kind Nazis. Yeah, to say the least. At a hearing in Navarro's case Friday, U.S. District Court Judge Amit Mehta, I don't know, signaled that he agrees that the treatment of the longtime White House trade advisor at the outset of the criminal case was unreasonably harsh. He says, "It's curious, at a minimum, why the government treated Mr. Navarro's arrest in the way it did." He said that the session in which Navarro attended along with his two defense attorneys, it's a federal crime, but it's not a violent crime. The judge, a former federal defender, said it was puzzling that prosecutors didn't just tell Navarro he was going to be charged and allow him to walk into the FBI office, as some white-collar defendants are permitted to do. "It's a surprise to me that self-surrender was not offered," the judge said. However, he proposed no particular response and did not demand any explanation from the prosecutors. So, again, you guys just do what you want, and we're not going to ask any questions. But of course, Hunter Biden not only walks free, he did a press conference in front of the U.S. Capitol and then ran and hid in Daddy's White House so he couldn't be touched. You're not going to like this, but it has to be said. I'm not sure who's the bigger punk-ass bitch, Hunter Biden or us, for allowing this. I mean, the list is endless. January 6th rioters rot in prison while BLM and Antifa goons get a free pass for breaking into federal buildings and trying to burn them down. How many times now have we seen Democrat mobs break into the Capitol and halt the business going on inside only to be asked nicely to leave? Isn't that an insurrection too? Or what about Biden and Pence? They both steal, not take accidentally, but steal classified documents, and some BS excuse is given and they're let off the hook. We can go all the way back to Hillary. She has a private server filled with classified and top secret emails, destroys evidence, and the FBI says, "Well, yeah, she did some stuff, but no prosecutor in the right mind's going to charge her." That's not for the FBI to decide. As the old commercial says,
that's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
Yet Trump, how as president had the constitutional right to have and declassify documents, awaits yet another trial to begin. I mean, I could go on for hours about all the improprieties that are dumped on Trump or conservatives and how Democrats just always get a pass. But really, what I'm getting at is this. Like I said, there is no going back for them. They crossed that line. And now, they are even more emboldened than ever. Knowing what we know, seeing what we have seen, what if next they just tell us the Second Amendment doesn't exist any longer? They'll do it, and then they'll say, again, try and stop us. Oh, but Sass, we'd get our guns and fight back. No, you wouldn't. You all have too much to lose. Not to mention, you'd be dispersed at some point, and then they'd just round you up later and throw you in the DC gulag. They've already proven that they've got the time and the money to do it. This is but a smattering of what we've been putting up with. And if you think another 4 years of Biden is going to get any better, then you are as dementia-ridden as Biden is. That is why this is the most important election of our lives. I know, a lot of you are thinking I'm just being over the top to shock you. But remember, Hugo Chavez came into power in Venezuela 27 years ago. Not that long ago, 27 years ago. And look where they are now. Before that, Venezuela was a thriving capitalist country. One of the richest on earth. I'm just saying. Okay, enough doom and gloom. We don't normally take phone calls, but I'm going to make an exception this one time. Bonnie from California. Hello, you're on the DNS show.
Well, I've got a few things I wanted to say. I worked in the federal government for 31 years in records management, and I'm extremely familiar with the Presidential Records Act. Trump has not violated anything, and there's no way they can get him for anything. He's covered. But Hillary Clinton is not covered. Joe Biden was not covered. Had I done what they did, I handled top secrets. Special compartmental information. And had I done what those two jokers done, you wouldn't be talking to me today because I would probably have been tried for treason. They are not covered. Now, the other thing I wanted to say real quickly is I voted for Trump, not because I love Trump. I've never been an I love Trump forever. Trump did things that made my blood boil. I wanted to pinch his head off, and he is not my moral compass. But you do not vote for someone because of personalities, because you like them or don't like them. You look at their record, you look at their platform, you see what they've done, and that's where and how you vote for people. Otherwise, you're going to get your butt in trouble. Now, Trump has done more for this country during his term as president than any president in my lifetime, and I'm 75 years old. Now, I would encourage people to get off their lazy hinds, do their research, look into these people, look into Haley, look into Biden, look into Kamala, look into all of these people, and Trump for sure. See what they stand for. See what they've done. Not whether you like their personality or anything else. So that's where I stand, and that's what I wanted to say.
Thanks, Mom. I'll see you at dinner on Sunday. Apparently, the White House is mad at one of their own. From Axios, Biden officials see next month's State of the Union address as a big public reset moment, a chance to overcome or at least neutralize concerns about President Biden's age and vitality. Why it matters. I hate that they do that. I hate that new way of informing the people, I don't know, but why it matters. Many top Democrats are convinced that if the election were today, Biden would lose a rematch with former President Trump. Biden's address on March 7th is his biggest chance to shift public perceptions. What we are hearing. Biden's State of the Union address played well last year. He seemed agile and riffed about the GOP and Social Security. Officials close to him, needing a repeat triumph, will spend hours on everything from the text to his physical preparation to exploit the primetime moment. Everyone around him is well aware, of the need to jack this campaign up. A source close to Biden said, the only way to deal with the negative aftershocks of special counsel's report slamming Biden's age is for the president to be out there, to be visible, to be strong of presence and strong of voice. Come on, man. Strong of voice, right. One bold move that Biden has considered, we're told, is an executive order that would dramatically staunch the record flow of migrants into the Southwest. This could even happen in the 2 weeks before the address, allowing Biden to say he took action while Republicans just talk. Okay, let's stop right there. I am really getting sick of the Democrats just making shit up, and I'm getting even more sick of Republicans and letting them do it. Biden could stop the flow today, and here's how. 18 U.S.C. 1182, Section F. Suspension of entry or imposition of restrictions by president whenever the president finds that the entry of any aliens or of any class of aliens into the United States would be detrimental to the interests of the United States, he may, by proclamation and for such period as he shall deem necessary, suspend the entry of all aliens or any class of aliens as immigrants or non-immigrants, or impose on the entry of aliens any restriction he may deem to be appropriate. Done. End of story. But back to the State of the Union. Biden is going to be so pumped up on drugs, just to make him seem coherent, it may actually kill him. Seriously. That Mr. Magoo old body of his can't take it. Now, of course, maybe this is their plan. You know, hoping for the sympathy vote. I don't know. Who knows? Who knows what those evil bastards think? But like they always say, never let a good tragedy go to waste. Speaking of Biden, he was in L.A. today for a fundraiser. Good old lunch pail Joe asking for a few pennies here and there from the people. Right. He wasn't going to Watts or the San Fernando Valley. He went straight to where the cash is. Bel Air. You know where the Fresh Prince comes from. Now, I just looked this up on Realtor.com, and the median home price in Bel Air is $9.6 million. So just remember, when Joe starts screaming in his frail old voice during that State of the Union, we're going to get those rich people who don't pay their fair share, he's full of it. He begs for money from those same people. Whenever you hear Democrats talk about the wealthy funding the MAGA extremists, go ahead if you have some free time and look up the name George Marcus. His net worth is $1.6 billion. He is one of Lunch Pail Joe's biggest donors.
Pay your fair share. Pay your fair share. Pay your fair share.
Now here's a good one for you. So Putin offed his political opponent, Alexei Navalny, and somehow it's Trump's fault. Now here's Kamala, as usual, talking out of her ass.
Do you think that Vladimir Putin has been emboldened by what Donald Trump said about NATO and about Putin?
I mean, the idea that the former president of the United States would say that he, quote, encourages a brutal dictator to invade our allies, and that the United States of America would simply stand by and watch. No previous United States president, regardless of their party, has bowed down to a Russian dictator before. And now we are seeing an example, something I just believe that the American people would never support.
Not what he said at all. But oh, really, Queen of the Word Salad? Well, then who is this?
This is my last election. Yeah. After my election, I have more flexibility.
I understand. I transmit this information to Vladimir and Mr.
Clinton Bill Clinton, gave Russia the nukes we had in Ukraine. Hillary Clinton brokered the deal to sell our uranium to Russia. Putin first invaded Ukraine under the Obama-Biden presidency, and they did nothing. Then Putin invaded Ukraine again while Joe played president, and his administration did zero to stop it, which got us into this whole money laundering mess with Ukraine in the first place. But please, Kamala, tell us again how Trump and the Republicans are cowering to Putin. All right, now this is fun. I guess we'll call this a SAS fun fact. So Michigan has 27,000 dead voters on their voter rolls. They've been sued for not following federal election law. They lost, and they still won't take them off the voter rolls. Remember the Democrat motto, try and make us. If you would like to see the group that sued them and won going to the gravesites of the dead still on the voter rolls, you can watch the video at publicinterestmichigan.org. Now, as usual, let's go out with some weird news. Well, we'll call it stupid and weird news. First, the stupid. You want to know how bad California is? From the Orange County Register. To tax or not tax? That's the basic question state and federal authorities ask about money paid to victims of the 2021 oil spill off in Huntington Beach. And for now, their answer is always the same. Tax. Now, I've got a little bit of skin in the game here because I used to live in Huntington Beach. Now, this didn't affect me, but I feel for these people because these were my neighbors. But an eclectic class of oil spill victims, fishermen, tourism-related businesses, and beach area homeowners recently has received various sized slices of a $95 million settlement that was set up over the past 2 years to pay for these spilled-related damages. In addition to the checks, which compensate for everything from hassles of living with powerful odors to the financial hit of several months of interrupted businesses and lost income, comes a slip of paper, a 1099 tax form. Seeing that form was definitely a buzzkill, said Eric Johnson, who received a pair of checks last fall worth about $1,300 combined, because he owns a home near the corner of Warner Avenue and Pacific Coast Highway, very close to where I used to live, close to where oil made landfall and a strong stench lingered for weeks in the fall of 2021. For us, it was inconvenient, Johnson said, but other people lost a lot more. This is really unfair to them. The state treats this like we won something in a contest or a game show, he added. That's not what this is. What they're getting isn't income, Wynn said, a Republican from Huntington Beach. Now notice how it takes a Republican to write a bill to try to get them the money they deserve without being taxed. A Republican from Huntington Beach said Wednesday, February 14th, it's compensation for losses, which is different. My bill is very specific, Wynn said. We're talking about an event that already occurred, and it's clear why people are being compensated. People who are getting money are recovering from a disaster, she added. We should help them, not tax them. It's unclear if Wynn's bill will gain traction, and if it does, when or if it'll be signed by Governor Gavin Newsom. So for now, Johnson is preparing to pay his taxes. How crappy is that? Newsom is that hard up for money that he's going to tax people on their compensation for a disaster. Okay, so the weird you've been waiting for. Hold on, I need a drink. This is weird, but speaks of so many other things going on. So here we go. A Spanish artist, Alicia Framis, is on the verge of making groundbreaking history by marrying a hologram created by artificial intelligence. Yes, you heard that right. She is marrying a hologram created by AI. This pioneering move is poised to make her the first person to enter into such a union. Through this unconventional Unconventional Marriage, Framis aims to delve into the intricate dynamics of relationships and to examine the potential effects that AI could have on human emotions. It's a romantic relationship between a woman and AI, she recently posted on Instagram. We know that soon robots and humans will be sexual partners, but for me, the next important step is emotionally involving artificial intelligence with humans. Now this is the good part. This endeavor follows Framis' previous exploration of companionship during which she lived with a mannequin named Pierre. You can't write this stuff. I don't know, I guess she got tired of her cats. Now, just to be transparent, that phone call from my mom earlier wasn't my mom. I totally lifted that from the Wilkow Majority. So I just want everybody to know I stole that phone call. We don't actually do phone calls, but it was funny. So there you go. Now things continue to get weirder here in the good old US of A. And I can't say it enough times. Tell the people you love that you love them. Give them a hug every day, because you never know when you're not going to get that chance again. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. I hope it was informative and kind of funny. And remember, we are doomed. Oh, my ice melted. I can't even make the swishing sound. We are doomed, so drink up. We'll see you next time. Bye.